What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in Lineup Logic, the NBA DFS podcast, giving you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. Sean Kane here, your host. I apologize for the delay in the podcast posting today. I got a sick kiddos, man. Threw off the whole schedule this morning, so we're back at it. I'm going to get this out to you guys. Hopefully, in the meantime, you checked out the interview that I threw up this morning with Average Bear DFS and with Average Bear DFS, which is a combination of course, Big Bear DFS and Average Joe DFS. Very creative. Those guys were absolutely excellent. It was a blast speaking to them. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. We talk specifically about bankroll management, game selection. You know, are you putting your money in cash games? Are you putting it in GPPs? We talk about process and understanding, you know, how to cope with projections and chalk. And, you know, we talk specifically about the massive cash lines that have been showing up in 50-50s these days. So those guys are absolutely excellent. Give them a follow over there on Twitter. Average Joe DFS, Big Bear DFS, providing lines at Average Bear DFS. Just wonderful dudes. Absolutely worth checking out. Aside from that, shout out to all of the listeners who cashed last night. I mean, Jeff, longtime friend of the podcast, Jeff. Really happy to see that, dude. That was a great line. Bill, Jason, good work, man. You know, the nice thing is that a lot of these guys I'm seeing out here, you know, people are cashing, but they're not, and they're building their own lines. Yes, okay, you use some of the advice that I give, but they're cashing because they build their own lines. They make their own pivots. They use the information that I provide. They say, okay, I like that. I like that. But you know what? I'm going to move over here. I'm going to change this idea, that idea. And that's, guys, you have to do that. You have to do that to get better at DFS. I can't predict the future, or else I would have predicted that Kevin Durant would have crashed into Zaza Pachulia and I would have gotten off of KD in my lineup, my personal lineup, man. Hey, I crashed and burned last night. KD absolutely killed me. I made some pivots off of Frank at the last minute, which was stupid. I got scared. It threw everything off. But hey, we got a beautiful 11 game slate coming up. This is what we call the bounce back. These big Wednesday slates are really, really fun. But before we get into the night to come in the NBA and the spreads and the injury news, and then the breakdown, the player breakdown, let's recap the previous lineup. All right, I alluded to this just a second ago. You know, I made some decisions that I was unhappy with, to be completely honest with you. Made some pivots to get off of Frank and on to Draymond Green and then on to Kevin Durant. Of course, KD goes down. Draymond absolutely crushed, you know. But in order to keep Draymond and get off Frank, I had to basically get onto Nikola Mirotic, which I didn't love Nikola Mirotic. I don't like Nikola Mirotic. I know he, as a Bulls fan, I know he has a terrible floor, and if he doesn't make the three, he won't get minutes. You know, I threw Nick Batum in there over Bradley Beal, which was overpaying, but I thought I saw a 40-point ceiling for Nick Batum in this one. Didn't happen. You know, and I compromised a point guard, paid down for two value point guards, basically to try and squeeze in way too much value on what should have been a more balanced slate. You know, a more balanced approach here would have gotten you right. You know, the original lineup, the show lineup, I did the calculations, and if you remember, it was D'Angelo Hill, Gary Harris, Bradley Beal, Jimmy Butler, Gordon Hayward, Draymond Green, Frank Kaminsky, and Rolo. Original show lineup was like 313. I did the math this morning just to make myself feel bad. So, you know, don't get oversaturated. And Big Bear talked about this on the interview. You know, projections are not the Bible, man. You do not have to always, you know, Twitter and projections will freak you out and people will say, I really like this guy or I really like that guy. Do your own research, make your own gut decisions, build your own lines. You know, if you feel like a player is in a good situation to succeed because you've been watching games or you know about a trend or it fits in your lineup construction with what you go with it, go with it. You know, I mean, there's no reason not to. You know, you have to do things that you feel uncomfortable with, and nobody in DFS has a crystal ball. So have some confidence. You know, I don't know why I moved off of that line. I felt really good about it all day, and then late news lineup lock, I got a little bit of panic. I don't know. Anyway, frustrating. You know, let's just say this. After I've done the show and the show lineup here, I feel really good about the lineup right now, and I'm not going to touch it for a long time unless I get some injury news. So that's that. With that, let's go ahead and dive into the games tonight. All right, like I said, we got a massive 11-game slate as we usually do on Wednesday nights. Some really nice, juicy games, some nice, tight spreads here. So let's start out on the East Coast. We got New York going down to Orlando, 215 total here. Spread is 2 in the favor of the Magic. Joakim Noah out, Willie Hernangómez out, going to get Kylo Quinn starting at center, Kristaps Porzingis back in. What we're really waiting to see is Aaron Gordon going to play? He could be a real nice value at the at small forward today, but not sure if he is going to play, at power forward today. They moved him on FanDuel, I believe. Not sure if he's going to play. He's got a foot injury, or he's working that foot injury. So we'll know more soon about Aaron Gordon. Washington at Toronto, nice conference matchup here. Washington coming off the nice win against Golden State. You got to wonder if Golden State was kind of reeling, everybody wondering in the back of their mind if KD was done for the season, scared, thinking too much. But, you know, it was a good win for Washington at home nonetheless to get the lead, keep the lead in the second half there. That's a good confidence boost for the Washington fan base. 209 total here. Toronto favored by 4 at home. A lot of guys priced up in this game. And, of course, Kyle Lowry out. Corey Joseph, look for him to be chalky. Not touching Corey Joseph. Point guard is pretty deep today. And Kojo just doesn't really have a lot of usage now with Serge and DeRozan. DeRozan all the way up to 10-2 and Serge at 6-8. Whoa. Dallas at Atlanta. Lowest total on the night. 196 total here. Atlanta favored by 6 at home. J.J. Barea, Wesley Matthews sitting for the Mavericks, which will likely, if we're likely going to see Nerlens Noel go into the 5, Dirk go to the 4, Barnes go to the 3, and most of the set. Now, they're going to start their normal lineup of Farrell, Curry, and then they'll have DFS, Dorian Finney-Smith, at the 3 and Barnes at the 4 and Dirk at the 5. I don't know why, but I think we'll probably see 30 minutes of the line that I just described with Barnes at 3, Dirk at 4, and Nerlens at 5. Going on the Atlanta side of the ball, no real injuries here to be worried about in this one. Tabo Sefolosha back in the lineup, kind of clogging up that backcourt. Not really a huge fan of the Atlanta side of the ball here. Philadelphia at Miami, 212 total here. Miami favored by 9 at home. You know, obviously we know all the injury news on the Philadelphia side of the ball. We know what the rotation is over there with no Embiid or Simmons or anything like that. Willie Reed is probably not going to play for Miami tonight. Doesn't really matter except for maybe a couple extra minutes for Whiteside. Maybe, I don't know. This game is interesting in the front court, not interesting in the back court. A lot of guys priced up Covington all the way up to 7-3. I'm off of him now. You know, Waiters still at 7K. This doesn't seem like a perfect situation for him. It's a good situation for him. It's not a perfect situation for him. You know, and Saric all the way up to 7-6. So I don't know. Not bad, not a bad situation at all for both teams, but definitely a GPP target, right? Under-owned game, productive productive scorers on both sides of the ball, so could be a nice GPP target. Saw that last night. Somebody stacked that Portland-Detroit game kind of as a variance play. Really worked out. Cleveland at Boston, 223 total on this one, one of the highest totals on the night. Cleveland favored by one. Really like this game. Really, really nice matchup for both. It's really tight Eastern Conference game. Love, love, love a LeBron under 11K, down at 10-6. It's a really nice price for him. So I'm interested in LeBron tonight as a stud option for me. No injuries. Avery Bradley back. So that kind of clogs up the value that you were looking at with, you know, Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. Bradley, man, he's good. We got to keep our eye on Bradley. Hopefully he'll get that minutes restriction lifted soon, but I don't know. We'll see. They want to keep him fresh. Denver at Milwaukee, 224 total here. Milwaukee favored by two at home. Denver coming off the big win in Chicago. Fareed still out for the Nuggets. Jokic back in form, had 50 points last night. You know, I said to a lot of people on Twitter, I'm off Jokic tonight. Well, you know, I wanted to take a wait and see. I didn't know what was wrong. I didn't know if it was strategic. I didn't know if it was Malone. I didn't know if it was foul trouble or conditioning or he was sick or what. He's back. He's back into form. He's looking sharp. He's definitely in play tonight. On the Milwaukee side of the ball, we'll have Chris Middleton back in the lineup. And, of course, Michael Beasley and Jabari Parker both out. So Middleton, interesting, gets an interesting bump there in usage. But, of course, Giannis absolutely in play in a pace-up situation at home. Detroit at New Orleans, 208 total here. New Orleans favored by two at home. We're going to have no DeMarcus Cousins. He's going to be out with the suspension, the first of his Pelicans era. So, you know, it's kind of back to Pelicans as usual, right? Get some Anthony Davis, get some Jrue Holiday. Boom, there it is. Not touching the Detroit side of the ball. Kind of inconsistent. I mean, Marcus Morris went nuts last night. And Ish Smith. So you don't know who's going to score for them on a regular basis. Kind of weird situation in Detroit. Indiana at San Antonio, staying away from this one. 208 total here. San Antonio favored by 10 at home. Just not interested, man. Not interested. Indiana is just kind of playing so-so basketball. The Spurs kind of owe them one. Indiana kind of gave them a tough game at home a while ago, and I don't think Popovich is going to roll over here. He'll shut them down. Kawhi is interesting. Price below 9K. If this game stays close, you know Kawhi will get 30 minutes, but he hasn't gotten 30 minutes in a long time, man. Pop is gearing up for that playoff run. And you know he was paying attention to that KD news. It'd be interesting to see if the Spurs try to make a run for the one seed in the West. You know, I mean, it's not out of the question that the Warriors could go on a four-game skid here in the next month or two. That's all it would take. They're only four or five games back. Minnesota at Utah, 201 total here. Utah favored by six at home. Pace down situation for both teams. One of the lowest totals on the night, right behind Dallas and Atlanta. Not that interested in this game. Not a ton of value plays sticking out there. Houston at LA. Now this game, highest total on the night, one of the best, most exciting games that we have. LA only favored by 1.5 at home against the Rockets. Love this game. Absolutely love this game. Got a priced up Blake Griffin, a Chris Paul back in action. You're going to want shares of this game. I think you're going to want the Clippers side just because they're a little bit more reasonably priced. You know, the Houston side, they're going to be facing going to the Clippers stadium. The Clippers aren't perfect on defense, but I don't know. I don't know what to do with James Harden. He really hasn't been performing lately, so I'm not really on Harden tonight, especially with other studs like Giannis and LeBron standing out in their matchups. Brooklyn at Sacramento, 215 total here. Sacramento favored by 1.5 at home. The battle of the terribles. I mean, God. Feel terrible for people who have tickets to this game. Who can lose faster? I don't know. You can touch this game for sure. This is a game stack candidate, you know, GPP game stack candidate. Pace up situation, one of the biggest pace bumps for Sacramento on the night. I just don't really know if I see any value in anyone except for Willie Cauley-Stein, who's been the most consistent fantasy performer and is priced fairly for what he's been doing. So that is it. 11 games, some stand out. Highest totals, highest pace. We have Cleveland at the Cleveland-Boston game. One of the best totals on the night. We have Denver-Milwaukee, one of the best totals on the night. And then Houston-LA, one of the best totals in the night. So we're going to want shares of all of those games for sure. How you fit them in, I'm not completely sure, because the pricing on a lot of these guys is, I mean, it's fair, it's reasonable. You know, you don't have any, like, sore thumb standing out value, so... let's take a look at the player breakdown and figure out which players we love. Who do you love? All right, in the lock and load segment here, this is where we will break down, the studs on the slate tonight. We'll try and figure out where you want to spend your money. On a big slate like this, you have to be careful. You have to try to maximize your floor and your ceiling at the same time, especially in cash games. So let's figure out where we want to spend. At point guard, we've got, I think, three quality options. I'll sort through them, kind of give you what you should think about here. You've got Kyrie at 9-1. You've got Isaiah at 9-4 and CP3 at 9-7. You know, I mean, pick your poison. The situations for a lot of them are very good. You know, for Kyrie, you've got a great DVP matchup with Isaiah, but he's on the road. For Isaiah, you've got a nice DVP matchup with Kyrie. He's at home. He's been slumping a little bit, and Avery Bradley is back. CP3 priced up to 9-7, but one of the biggest pace games in totals on the night, and has a good history against the Rockets. So, you know, I think it take any one of those, you're going to see 40 plus points, and you like that quite a bit. Their prices are all normal, fair, given their production. Games are slated to be competitive. So I think that all three of those guys are in play. I'm off John Wall tonight. Doesn't really interest me on the back-to-back away from Washington. Kyrie and Isaiah, I think, stand out to me just for price purposes. They've averaged 40 in the last five games. We know that they have 50-point ceilings. There's a slight edge to Kyrie for price and matchup. But then you also know that there's a slight edge to Thomas because he is at home. So, you know, I think just kind of put them one of them in as a placeholder and then just kind of toy with it and see, you know, which one you end up with. You know, it doesn't, I think you're okay with any of them. They all have good histories here. So, you're not going to miss 40, 45 points with any of these guys. At shooting guard, it's Giannis. I know we have Harden in a competitive game. He could absolutely bounce back to form, and but I think Giannis is just priced really well. 11-1. This is pretty straightforward. We know we want Giannis at home. We know we want Giannis in a pace-up situation with a usage bump. We know we want Giannis against a poor defensive team. Check, check, check. Giannis is the lock. I think you'll see Giannis at 30, 40, 50% tonight in a lot of games. It's weird that his price went up after that terrible game against LeBron, but I guess FanDuel algorithms know exactly what we know. When you have a pace-up Giannis situation, it's a great spot for him to bounce back. So, you know, my only hesitation with Giannis in this situation is price. He needs 56 points to hit value. You know, okay, 56 points from Giannis in this situation isn't crazy. He went out and he put up over 50 against the against the Nuggets last time in Denver. You know, and we've seen 50, 56, 57 point games from him in pace-up situations, like that most recent game in Brooklyn. We saw it when he played Houston, for example. You know, you just wonder, I think what I wonder is if is Denver's defense improving? They shut down Jimmy Butler last night. Is putting all of the offense through Giannis too much? You know, I mean, it's complicated, but this is the situation where you want to roster Giannis. So I feel good about him getting to 50, 55. We'll see. At small forward, LeBron is one of my favorite plays of the night. 10-6, a 10-6 LeBron is just right. The reason that I like LeBron in this situation is you've got a lot of positional scarcity. It's really hard to see in the small forward category where you want to roster. You don't have guys like in point guard tonight. You have guys all the way from 9 down to 6K that you kind of feel comfortable with. Options. You have it in power forward as well. You have a lot of guys in the upper echelon that you feel good about, and then some value guys as well. Center is not bad. Small forward is not that. Small forward is pretty rough right now. You have a lot, you know, you have LeBron, and then you have all the 6, 7, and 8K guys, but none of them really stand out for matchup or usage or situational. So I don't know. I think LeBron is going to be my stud just because of positional scarcity, you know, and that's a real thing. Positional scarcity is a real thing. When you can't find a guy that you want to roster who's in a good situation, go with what's secure here. So I like LeBron roster below 11K at home, or excuse me, against a conference rival. He's averaged 52 against the Celtics this year. 50 burger for him is basically what he's been putting up. He's averaged 48 in the last 10 games. 49 in the last 10 games, 48 in the last five. He averages 48 on the road. So 50 is not crazy in what should be full 36 minute situation for LeBron. You know, this is for me profile similarly to playing Westbrook last night. You know what you're going to get. And I think that there's safety and there's security in that in cash games. I have no problem with LeBron. He's matchup proof. Yes, Jay Crowder's good, but he's not going to shut him down, and LeBron's going to get 36 minutes because they want to get this game. They want to get this game, and they want to hold on to that one seed in the East. I mean, this matters for the Cavs, and this matters for the Celtics. This is an important game for both of them to make sure that, you know, you don't give up a spot, you know, home court advantage in what is going to be a pretty tightly contested race in the Eastern Conference. I like Bron quite a bit. At power forward, two guys I got to talk about here. Like I said, power forward is pretty rich today. You got Davis and Jokic. Now you also have Blake. Blake priced up to 10K. 50 is not crazy given Blake's recent production, and I don't mind Blake at all. I don't mind him at all. I think that though I would be a fool if I did not talk about Anthony Davis and Nikola Jokic. AD, sans boogie. And they gave him a price bump for that. But this is basically Anthony Davis before the All-Star break. You know what he's capable of. 70-point ceilings, 50-point production on a regular basis. He's priced at 11-6, which is asking him to score 58 points in this situation. He already went over 50 against Detroit this year, so that's not crazy for him to do against Detroit. He stretches Drummond out. He gives him fits. He can't keep up with him, and the length is a problem for Andre as well. So I like Anthony Davis quite a bit in this situation, but the price is restrictive, and I have no problem. You know, I think he's firmly in play in GPPs. I have no problem if you're going elsewhere with your stud, and one of those stud options is Jokic. Jokic is back. 9-8 going to Milwaukee, one of the worst DVP teams against the center, bottom 10 on the season. He had 50 against the Bucks already once this year at home. And, you know, I think what's interesting to me is he got full minutes last night. This team is very good when Jokic gets full minutes and the offense runs through him. You know, they had a couple rough spots right after the All-Star break when everybody came back and they tried to adjust the strategy. I think Malone firmly planted his flag on Jokic and said, hey, let's play through the big. Let's play through the big fellow. Let's use our strength. Let's let him handle. Let's let him dish. Let's let the offense collapse around. That's exactly what the Bulls did. Collapse around him. Dude had double-digit assists. He had 16 rebounds. You know, the nice thing about Jokic is he only had to score 19 points last night to get you 50 fantasy points. He does everything. And he can do that again against the Bucks tonight. You know, he's going to get Greg Monroe defense, who Greg Monroe, for all of his offensive assets, is very, very bad on the defensive end. Great matchup here. The only caution that I have against Jokic, and the only reason that I feel comfortable getting off of him at all, is that he does take a hit on back-to-backs. You know, like a lot of bigs, he struggles with back-to-backs, and he is better at home, which is interesting to me. I think if it's a fitness thing, you'd think Denver would be a hard place to play. But on back-to-backs, he does struggle. You know, we saw him, though, in a road back-to-back situation last 2 weeks ago against before the All-Star break. He came off that monster game against the Knicks and then went to Cleveland and put up another really solid game. So, you know, I think in this situation, he's definitely got a 40-point floor. You know, does he hit his ceiling? That it kind of depends on the peripherals and the minutes. You know, if Malone says, hey, you gave us a W last night, let's get some Plumlee in there, then maybe, you know, he doesn't hit his ceiling. But if they give him 32, 36 minutes, you know, I like that quite a bit. At center, Hassan Whiteside, always a GPP consideration, especially in this matchup. He's got Philadelphia, he's got Jahlil Okafor defense. Guys, I mean, it's just they're death, taxes, and start centers against the 76ers. You know, I mean, that's it. Okafor is terrible, and the whole 76ers front court is terrible. Even last night against a pretty stingy Dallas team, Whiteside turned up, and he had 43 points. The question is price, of course. It's always price with Whiteside. Do you want to pay $8K? Do you want to pay $9K for a guy who is, you know, kind of inconsistent and could end up with 25. He has a terrible floor. He has an excellent matchup, but he has a terrible floor. He's already done two games against the 76ers this year. One of them he only hit like 25, and one of them he hit 45. So I don't like him for cash games at 8-8-8. That doesn't really interest me, but I like him in general in this matchup, and it's hard to fade a real good matchup like this. All right, let's move on to the fantasy grout. Mid-priced guys you can fill in that second tier, 5 to 8K range. At point guard, we're absolutely loaded today. A lot of options. I think three possible plays, but I'll give you my favorite at the end. The first two are Derrick Rose and Darren Collison. No, we don't trust Derrick Rose. I know. Yes, I know that Derrick Rose is a risky play, 100%. You know, I think the thing we have to remember is last time I talked about Derrick Rose, the last two times I talked about Derrick Rose in the pod, one day he went for 40 against OKC. Last game, he was on track for 30. He was on track for 6X against the Raptors. He left with a shoulder in the top of the fourth quarter, came back and finished the game last 5 minutes and really didn't contribute at all because you had Carmelo fourth quarter action. You know, I don't mind Derrick Rose at all in this situation at 6'3". It's a pretty solid price against Elfrid Payton. You know, I think he is in play. If he falls to you in your line of construction, you don't build around him. But if he falls to you and you can have access to him and he's kind of the last piece, fine. You're okay with it. I think 30 points is definitely in the cards. The Orlando Magic have been giving up a lot of points to the point guard position recently. They're bottom five in DVP to the position, 46 points over the last five games. Elfrid Payton defense is not a real thing, and Derrick Rose has already scored 30 against Orlando twice this year. So, okay, fine. The other option you have in that 6K range, Darren Collison. He's firmly 6K. He's been playing about 25 plus minutes against, and he'll get Brooklyn tonight in a pace-up situation. You know, I think the only thing that I'm cautious about is whether or not Ty Lawson is going to run the one and Collison goes to the two. And then if Collison is on the two, is he going to be sharing minutes with Tyreke Evans and Buddy Hield and Aaron Aflalo and Ben McLemore? And, I mean, the list goes on, right? The backcourt there is so, so clogged up. So if one of those guys gets hot, you know, all of a sudden Collison only gets 24 minutes and he's not really going to pay off that price tag. So I like Collison quite a bit as a late hammer. Again, if he falls to you, but I'm not building around him. It's not matchup proof. I think my favorite guy tonight is priced down Jrue Holiday. Holiday saw a price drop basically because of the Brow and the Boogie situation, and he is now 7-7. That's a great price for a guy who has a 50-point ceiling. He's got Detroit where, okay, I think we all saw what Damian Lillard did last night. And apologies for not hammering Damian Lillard more. You know, I did say that I had on the pod, I did say I have absolutely no problem with Kemba and Damian Lillard. I think they're locks for 40 points. Of course, they did exactly that. And John Wall played well, but you would have gotten more points per dollar from those two guys. Jrue at 7-7 going up against Detroit. Detroit has just been absolutely terrible against the point guard recently. 47 points given up in the last five, and that 60 burger to Dame last night was no joke. So he had 44 against them last time they played, and that was just with Davis before the All-Star break. I like Jrue quite a bit. I think people will be on him. I think the secret's out there. I don't think he'll be owned, you know. He's not going to be owned at 70%. He's going to be owned in the 30s, 40s for sure. At shooting guard, it's Seth Curry and Evan Fournier. Seth Curry, I tweeted this out yesterday. No Wesley Matthews in the lineup. Curry has just been absolutely shooting the lights out, man. Taking 15-plus shots a game for the Mavs. He is a catch-and-shoot monster. He's just running that J.J. Redick. Off the screen, fired up, off the screen, fired up. And he's playing really, really well. He's going to have a nice matchup with Tim Hardaway against the Atlanta Hawks, who struggle against the shooting guard and have been in the bottom 10 in DVP, giving up about 36 points to the position, which relative to everybody else is pretty solid. They're definitely bottom half of the league in that number. And bottom 10 in league, at that number. Curry's at 6-1, but he hits 30 pretty consistently. You know, here's the last three games, 31, 36, 33. You know, and 33 points against the Miami backcourt, which is actually pretty decent. You know, pretty decent backcourt in Miami. They play quality defense, and he had 33 points against them, against a pretty poor backcourt like Atlanta. You like Curry to at least hit that nice 5X number, and if he gets hot and he gets extra minutes because of no Wes Matthews, then, hey, let's go Curry. Evan Fournier, very interesting as well because of price. I really like the price, and I really like the matchup. Now, at 5-3 against the Knicks, that's an excellent situation for him. We saw what DeMar DeRozan did at shooting guard against the Knicks the other day. The Knicks are bottom five in DVP to the position, giving up 36 points on a regular basis to this position. Fournier has a 30-point ceiling. We know that. Of course, the question in my mind is whether or not Fournier is going to be able to continue production with the advent of Terrence Ross. Terrence Ross has really been shooting the ball well and shooting the ball a lot and shooting the ball in the same role that Fournier's been shooting it, right? This kind of trailer, get to the corner, get to the three-point line and fire it up. You know, Fournier, decent history against the Knicks this year, 33 points in the first time that they met. Second time that they met, he was, I believe he was out with an injury. That's correct. First time they met though, 33 points. And, you know, we know we can attack the Knicks at the two. That's no problem. Gary Harris also firmly in play at 5-5. My question is who's going to match up with who in Milwaukee Denver game? You know, I don't know. I never know where they're going to put Giannis. I don't know where they're going to play him. So, You know, I don't mind Gary Harris. People have been on him. He continues to perform 28 to 30 points. But I don't mind Seth Curry, and I don't mind Fournier. And then I also don't mind going down to the fours and getting some value. There's definitely some value on the shooting guard slate for sure. At small forward, mid-tier, I talked about this with LeBron. There's not a lot here. And here, let me talk you through why I don't like some of these mid-tier priced small forwards. Kawhi hasn't been getting minutes because Pop is basically resting him to try to make sure he's not hurt. Minutes management plan, right? Gordon Hayward, price bump, pace down situation with Minnesota. You know, bad DVP situation. Minnesota as a team defense is pretty solid. Andrew Wiggins is an individual defender, not that great. Hayward has had a mixed bag of returns against Minnesota this year. One game, only 19 points. One game, 33 points. At 8-2, I'm not that interested. Carmelo, I don't mind Carmelo. In fact, I'll talk about Carmelo. Wiggins at 8-1 against Utah. He's had a terrible season against Utah this year. Hasn't surpassed 20 points. Not interested. Paul George had a great game against San Antonio last time out. 36 fantasy points. But at 36 fantasy points, you know, that doesn't feel like it's going to happen again in San Antonio. That was in... We know he's better at home, and that was in San Antonio. Now he's in San Antonio. Doesn't feel like it's going to happen with Kawhi defense. Covington priced up here in this situation, kind of had an outlier performance, kind of came back down to earth, but his price continues to rise. I'm off Covington until I see a plus matchup or the price go back to that 7K spot. I don't mind Gallo and Chandler. I don't mind them at all. I don't know who Giannis is going to guard. He's going to guard one of them, and I'll take the other one, but I'm not completely sure who it's going to be, and I don't know much about Chris Middleton defense. So, hey, fan forecast team, Wisconsin sports fan, hit me up. What's Chris Middleton defense like? Zach Brunner, I know you guys are out there, but Wisconsin people are out there. Coach Nick, you guys are out there. Talk to me. Chris Middleton defense, what's going to happen in this Denver-Milwaukee game? Let's get some Twitter conversation starter. Otto Porter, no, against Amari Carroll defense, not interested. Pace is neutral there. Harrison Barnes is somewhat interesting, but he's going to get Tabo Cephalosha. Marcus Morris is interesting, but they actually have pretty decent against the three. And Jay Crowder is worthless right now. So maybe I go down into the Chris Middletons and Rondae Hollis-Jeffersons, Terrence Rosses of the world. That's kind of where I am headed with my small forward too. I mean, I just sat, sorry for giving all that information so fast. I sat and stared at small forward here while I was doing my notes for like 20 minutes. Like one of these guys, like type it in the name, trying to figure out, delete. No, that's not a good matchup. Oh, let's see the matchup history here. Maybe he's done well. No, it's inconsistent at best. I think the only one that you could go, you know, if you're going to go with, there's two, you know, Chandler and Gallo, maybe. Okay, I think Chandler will probably get Giannis defense. So maybe you get Gallo on Tony Snell. That's nice. Gallo, Tony Snell is not bad. And then I think Carmelo is firmly in play as well. You know, he's Carmelo, so he's GPP because he just isn't that consistent. And with Kristaps back, he's not going to have that massive usage rate that we like. But he is playing the Magic, and the Magic suck. So that's a great matchup situation. But he is on the road, which you don't love for Carmelo. So for me, LeBron, baby, LeBron. At power forward, moving into the middle tier of power forward, you know, I think that we have to continue to look at Dario Saric. I realize that this isn't a perfect matchup, but we do know against the interior of Miami, we can take advantage. And Saric playing that kind of 4/5 role, he has hit 34, 39, 40, and 39 points in his last four games. His usage is just through the roof. Dude has not had a game below 30 points since the beginning of February, basically. You know, and did not play well against Miami the first time that they met in February, but the second time again met against, he had 26 minutes and 37 points. So Dario, Super Dario is firmly in play here, even at 7-6. You know, I mentioned that there's a couple guys priced up in this game, but I don't mind Dario Saric at all in this situation. The question is can you fit him in? And I don't know if you can. And I think that there is a more value down the board here as well. When you look at power forward, you've got some nice options in the 5K range. So definitely thinking about Dario, but I may pivot down into the value range here. Okay, so let's go ahead. Center. Let's go ahead and look at the mid-tier centers here. My favorite mid-tier center on the night, there's two options as I see it. One is DeAndre Jordan, and the other one is Nikola Vucevic. Jordan going to face Houston, dead last in DVP, pace-up situation, already had 38 points against Houston earlier this season. He's priced to hit that number very fairly again, had 50 points last time. He plays well with Chris Paul. You think he might bite his usage a little bit, but Jordan plays very well against Chris Paul, plays well with Chris Paul. He's at home. He's going to have a nice opportunity to hit value in this one with a lot of extra possessions. Nikola Vucevic, though, also a really, really solid option at 7-4, getting the New York front court, you know, absolutely in play to be playing against New York centers. Kyle O'Quinn will not be able to guard the Vooch monster. You could very well see another nice 40-pointer from Nikola Vucevic in this situation. He's been under the radar. He always goes under-owned. I like Vooch and Jordan in these games. Moving down into the bargain basement. I'll give you a couple plays. I'm not going to try to overwhelm you with bargain value here. I'll try to give you guys at least two options here in the 5K and below range. At point guard, I think for me, the interesting options are, of course we have Corey Joseph, but Corey Joseph hasn't really shown a ceiling, and now he's priced all the way up to 5-1. If I'm going to take a point guard at 5-1 in that range, I'm going to take Malcolm Brogdon. Brogdon getting Denver at home. He may be taking on a usage bump. You know, he had a really nice game against Cleveland last time, an advantageous matchup. I think that, personally, I think they should let the reins off of Brogdon and really let him get going to try and help this Milwaukee team get through these injuries. You know, let the rookie go. And then I also really like Ty Lawson at 4-9 against Brooklyn. Minutes are inconsistent, but the production is consistent as long as the minutes are there, right? He's gotten 30 minutes in both situations that he's gotten 30 minutes in the last two games. He's hit over 23 and then 26 fantasy points. So Ty Lawson is an interesting option for me as well. At shooting guard, going down into the value range, Courtney Lee is in play. He has played really well of late, and against Orlando, this should be another good situation with no Brandon Jennings in the lineup for him to get some shots up. I really like the JJ and Jamal twins here against Houston. Pace-up situation, you know, they are just priced really fairly for what they can do, and we know that they both have 30-point ceilings, but they're both priced in the 4K range. You get that nice, cheap, late hammer. That's a really nice way to hold on to a cash line, I think. You can try to figure out what the hell to do with the Brooklyn-Sacramento game, but I'm staying away from those rotations. I don't trust them, and I don't know that you should either. It's just a little bit of a sketchy situation, you know, and you don't want to end up with a guy who gets 10 minutes and the next guy in the rotation is the one who gets 30 minutes. It's just kind of, for me, in cash games, not interesting. Tournaments, stack them up. Give you some Buddy Hield, get some Macklemore, I don't know. Get some Ty Lawson, but it not for me. It just kind of scares me to play those rotations with teams that are tanking. And then at small forward, I already mentioned a couple of these guys, but I think there's a couple guys in the 5K range that are in play. Hollis Jefferson might be in play. He's been consistently getting minutes for the Nets. He's one of their bright spots. They want to develop him. Chris Middleton, 5-1. You know, I think if we know that maybe Chris Middleton doesn't have a minutes limit, that would be really nice. We saw him go off in a pace-up game against Brooklyn with 26 minutes, but then he kind of got shut down against Phoenix, another pace-up situation, just didn't play that well. you know, I don't know. It's risky. It's GPP profile for sure. Not cash games for me. I like Terrence Ross. Terrence Ross getting 30-plus minutes since he moved over to the Magic. Been playing extremely well, putting up a ton of shots. You know, he is a shooter. He is streaky. But his price, you know, his price only is asking for him to go north of 20 points. I think that's very reasonable. Since he's taken on this role with the Magic, he's hit 25 and then 37. So I'm okay with Terrence Ross at 4-4. In fact, I like him quite a bit. I think he's one of the more solid value plays for the minutes and the role that you're going to have, minutes-role matchup. At power forward, Willie Cauley-Stein, baby. WCS, 5-4. I know it's not complete bargain basement, but I really like Willie Cauley-Stein in this situation. He has a great matchup with Brooklyn. He's been getting some of the most consistent minutes because the front court of Sacramento is not where there's a ton of rotation players. So he gets a lot of good minutes, a good situation against Brook Lopez to soak up rebounds and stuff like that. The other one that I like is Derek Favors. I also like Aaron Gordon if he plays, to be clear, against New York. That's a really nice matchup in the front court. But I also really like Derek Favors at 5K against Minnesota. His matchup history with Minnesota is excellent against Georgie Dang and the second unit of the Wolves. He had 33 last time out against the Wolves. And Favors seems to be taking a little bit more usage on the second unit. You know, had a couple nice games here recently. 5K is a very reasonable price for a rotation player like Derek Favors. You know he's going to get 25 plus minutes. And, you know, and against the Wolves, that's, basically give me a point per minute. And he had a point and a half per minute last time. So, you know, don't mind Favors at all. And then the value guys at center, well, there's one that's going to stand out, and I think 50% of the world is going to be on him. It's Kyle O'Quinn. Kyle O'Quinn at 4-7 I missed one guy at power forward that I need to talk about. Rashawn Holmes, baby. Rashawn Holmes, my man. Been rostering him like crazy. 4-5, he's getting Miami front court. He's better than Jahlil Okafor. Jahlil Okafor, basically, and him, I think they're splitting the minutes, 25-plus minutes for Rashawn Holmes in this one. At 4-5, I love that price. DeAndre Jordan, though, we already talked about DeAndre Jordan. I'm sorry. We're talking about value centers. The value center of the night, there's one, and the world is going to know about him. It's Kyle O'Quinn. He's starting against Orlando, terrible team. He's going to get 30 minutes, 25 minutes maybe. They could go small ball. You know, I heard somebody talking about this. They could go small ball in New York and put Kristaps at the five, which I think is actually the look that they should go forward in the future. They like Hernan Gomez, but, you know, Kristaps at the five is probably the more modern lineup that they have there. But Kyle O'Quinn firmly in play at 4-7. We like him to hit value tonight. That's not a crazy number. 20-plus for him is very easy in the minutes that he should be getting against Nikola Vucevic. Poor rebounder. So that is it, guys, for the breakdown. Let me go ahead and give you my locks of lineup locks here. The guys that I'm locking in, my four core players here that I'm locking into my lineup. For me, it's starting with Jrue Holiday, Seth Curry, LeBron, and then Willie Cauley-Stein. I know Willie Cauley-Stein sometimes is in my core all the time, but those four guys, they feel like they're in really good situations, you know, solid prices, you know, and then filling in around them, here's the rest of my cash core. So we're starting with Jrue Holiday at point guard one, Kyrie Irving at point guard two, Seth Curry and J.J. Redick at shooting guard two, Terrence Ross, LeBron James, Willie Cauley-Stein, Holmes and DeAndre Jordan. So got a little bit of feedback yesterday on Twitter, people understanding what's the logic behind each one of these plays. Okay, well, let's go through it real quick. Jrue Holiday, price down, 50-point ceiling, great DVP situation with Detroit on a back-to-back. Kyrie Irving, great DVP situation, price down, competitive must-win game, full minutes, reasonable price, reasonable pace. Seth Curry, no Wes Matthews. He gets the usage bump. He's been going over 30 points. Good DVP situation against Atlanta backcourt. 30-plus minutes. J.J. Redick priced down, pace highest pace, highest total of the night against Houston. Terrence Ross, 35-plus minutes in the last two games. New York terrible against the shooting guard, against the wings in general. Been shooting the lights out. Price down at 4-4, very reasonable for him to hit value in a plus matchup. LeBron James, positional scarcity. There's no one else that I really like at power at small forward. LeBron feels safe. He's priced very reasonably to only hit 54 points. I like that price. I like the matchup. LeBron feels like a safe stud for me tonight. Willie Cauley-Stein going up in the highest pace differential of the night. Going to see the Brooklyn front court. Excellent DVP situation. He's the only big man in that rotation who has the athleticism to really do anything. Rashawn Holmes, he's better than Jahlil Okafor. And he's going to go up against Hassan Whiteside defense. We attack Miami into the front court all the time. And Holmes has been seeing 25-plus minutes in the last two games at 4-5. Very easy to see him going 5X. DeAndre Jordan is kind of my variance play of the night. Houston dead last in DVP to the center. Jordan, nice correlation with Chris Paul. I like him as a low-owned late hammer here in this situation. I don't think people will be on him. I think people will gravitate towards Kyle O'Quinn, and that's fine. I don't mind Kyle O'Quinn, but the reality is the only way that I would change this lineup is if I went with Kyle O'Quinn at center, and then I went with Dario Saric at power forward. That's it over Rashawn Holmes. That's the only change that I would do. Really, and that makes sense. I think that's fine, but I really like this lineup quite a bit. All right, so that's it for me, guys. I appreciate you. Hey, if you win, I want to hear about it on Twitter. It makes me so happy every morning when I wake up. I'm all groggy, depressed, the kids are awake and stuff. And then all of a sudden I see on Twitter, hey man, I won all this money. I won all this money. It's awesome. So I appreciate that. Hey, review the podcast, shout me out on Twitter, follow everything. I appreciate you guys, and listen to the interview with Average Bear. And I will see you guys tomorrow.